Succession number 28752, reel number 3.
Harry Borum, reel 3. So you were at
Beja,
that's right.
This was about February 1943, and we suddenly got news that the Americans had come a cropper at they got into trouble. We didn't get it back in. They just dropped all the gear and ran.
Catherine.
So we had to make up a scratch fall to try and hold the line. We were very, very thin on the ground there, you know. Although it was all the First Army, there was only one reinforced division. And the troops are very scarce. So they made up the scratch fall. Say, we sent two troops down and a Seymour ferry. And other units sent bits down.
Yes.
Hold the line.
Yes.
Sure, we get reinforcements.
Where were you sending them to?
Catherine Pass. It's well known. There's books about it.
Yeah.
They really gave way. That's their first encounter with Germans, and they thought they're going to walk over. They really well hammered them. They just dropped everything and ran. And we were told to stay there until I was relieved or if they attacked us to just hold it till they could. And it was a bit frightening. You could see these Germans, you know, in distance.
Oh, so you could actually see them.
We lined up the AKC, took that in, they had their 25 pounds, and we put our guns behind them, in between them. I think it was the 12th RAK. So it's an old friend here. And we had a squadron of the 21st Lancers out their armoured screen. And they got blown to bits because they had 2 pounder guns against the Germans, 88s. But nothing really happened. We had a scary, the Germans advanced one time, but didn't pursue it. And after about 4 days, we relieved and went back. Well, by that time, you see, the Germans were close, you know. We've got the army, it was the First Army there. We had, it became 5 corps and had 3 more divisions added to it. And as you know, it ended about in May. We drove into Tunis. We had a big march past, the Montier, all the big knobs. And then we went to a place called Labadieu.
Did you stop in Tunis at all?
Pardon?
Did you stop in Tunis?
We stopped in the outskirts, a place called St. Cyprian, a little village. That's where the whole regiment was there for the first time.
St. Cyprian?
St. Cyprian, yeah.
And had Monty...
The first time we joined up, as you probably know, and they've combined on Tunis. I think about some tape, a sense of April, I think it fell.
A sense of?
I think it was April.
Oh, April.
And after the stalemate, we went to a place called Sessif, back on the coast. And then we started here, the Oxford game. We started losing chaps to go back to Oxford to get ready for the second front. And it all my sergeants went, nearly all of them. And I didn't intend to become an officer, because I was a regular soldier at that time, and I got my warrant as a WO2, so my future was secure, you see. But when I saw this, and I saw the latest batch of recruits coming in, I put my name down, and I went to Oxford St. with them.
You went to?
Oxford.
Yes.
That's an officer cadet training unit.
Yes.
And I put down for the Royal Fusiliers, so my cadet was done, and I was accepted. So we came back to England, and we went to Oxford and the Isle of Man, and I was commissioned to the Royal Fusiliers on the 13th of May, 1944.
Can you tell me, so you, how did you get back to England at that time?
It was called a big liner, but it's me now. It's all in my tapes, all this.
But which route did you take?
I came back unaccompanied, fast liner, and came back unaccompanied.
Really?
My party, the anti-aircraft, we've been anti-aircraft gunners, it was a godsend, you see. And I came direct down to the guns officer, and I just come to do 12 hours now, in the closest. And all my blokes were on the guns, the Olikins and the Spandau.
Yes.
So I was a fairly useful tap back. We landed at Liverpool, went to Woolwich, which is our home depot, and then we went to Oxford. I went to the Isle of Man, which is posh one, very nice.
Can you tell me something about your time there? Tell me something about your training and what you were required to do.
Well, I have to diverse a bit now. Because options were failing, not because the chaps who'd gone there hadn't got the basic rudiments. So after their 4 months options, they did a month doing the elementary stuff, you see.
So a funny way around.
Well, it's typical British, you know. They have never fired a rifle, or had never seen a submachine gun. So they waste a good month of patience to start, see. So they formed another unit called a pre-option, which is at Rooton. And there you did all the bases. You started this with a rookie. And you did, I think it was 6 weeks, so they really hammered you. So the time you went to option, you had the basics, so that's there.
Yeah.
So, now when you went to Oxford, you start officer training, which is, well, you do a bit of basic training, but you do section attacks, platoon attacks, and company attacks in defence and in retreat, and all that sort of stuff, you see. And much more advanced. And when you come out at the end of your 4 months, you're an officer. Anyway, that was a theory. Anyway, I got through all right. I haven't been worried.
What sort of things were you learning there?
Well, you do advanced map reading, of course, and compass work, and you do night schemes.
What are night schemes?
Well, it starts at dusk, and it goes through all night, and you give the plan of attack, the company of the state, or the company of defence. And you each give them a definite role, where you become a commander or a second commander. And then you'll judge them what you do. You can be watched the whole time, you see. And you do force marches and pace marches. You have 30 miles in, I think 36 hours in a day, or 32 in a day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You have the 9 mile bash, that's 9 miles in 2 hours in full kit. That's a bit like that. So it's all part of learning, see. So when you come out, you're pretty fit.
And you've got a lot of advanced skills as well.
Well, I was very lucky. I had it all, right from my boy, you see. And I had a good shot, I had a very good shot. And I was a cross-country owner, so I was a pretty good athlete. So I really was in it.
Yes.
And I went, my first posting was to number one ITC in Squires Gate in Blackpool, which is a big training centre, and I made second commander of a company, which is a bit boring, but there. Sometime in July, I was at the guns of CO, which was being posted to Alexandra. Well, I guess I'll back to No, it's not Alexandra in Scotland.
Oh, I see.
And the base of Loch Lomond. And this was a PTC, a primary training centre. What happened? The ninth battalion of the Bedford Heart Dragon, 60 foot, were in Northern Ireland. And when the crisis died, when the Americans arrived, we weren't needed. They all disbanded and dispersed. And this particular regiment became a PTC, and they were posted to Alexandria. And I went there as second in command of a company. Just trained a recruit straight from Civil Street. I've been there about a month, and I'm going to see the CO again, or Colonel Young. He said, I'm making you weapons training officer. Weapons training.
Yes.
In charge of all weapons training. And I went on the small arms corps for hires, the gas course at Golding, and the ammunition course at Bourne. About 4 months altogether. Mm. I went back and took over as WTO, and that's where I finished up.
So can you tell me something about your gas training, for example?
Well, you got to make sure everybody's dressed, where the gas was. Well, that's done by the instructors. You get gas lectures once a week, and you get all your gas scares, so you have a gas day. In theory, who talks about their gas laws? They don't know, I'm joking. But it goes through the motions. You write a right report about it. And they put them all through the gas chamber, they put the gas. And they can take their masks off. It's a part time job, really. My real job was on the ranges, instructing.
Right.
Rifle.
And what sort of ranges were you?
Well, you were the 30 yards range within the camp. And the big range, you went the open ranges up to 1,000 yards.
Is it? Mm. And what were you using for those distances?
The number one rifle, the Bren, and that time we had the Mark 5 Sten. And grenades, hand grenades, 36 grenades.
Right.
So it was all part of the training.
Which one did you use for which distances?
Well, a 36 grenade is a milled bomb, that's a killer. Then you get 75 grenades for an anti-tank. You've got 6 to 9 for a sticky grenade. You're supposed to run up to the tank and stick it on it.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Yes.
I never tried it. But you have to teach it all, see.
Yes.
And then the Piat, which is a terrible thing, is an anti-tank weapon. It's called a projectile anti-tank. And it's a big hole, maybe about 3 hours or 3 pounds. You have to load it by loading your back and load it to your heads and 90 pounds of pressure on it. You fire in this tank, and if you hit it, if you destroy it, but 80 yards range is very lucky to use it, I think. But people did use it.
Yeah.
And one bloke got a VC for looking at 2 tanks of it.
Really?
Hmm.
Yeah.
That went on for a little while. Then we got an intake of Dutch recruits. Because by that time Dutch had been relieved, and they were trying to form their own army, you see. But that was a failure. They're all thin and they banned. After a week, they stopped it.
Well, they were too unfit.
Well, unfit. And they made it pretty clear they weren't going to fight,
Really? Yeah. Yes.
The idea was they were going to form and go back and say, we take their East Indian colonies, which they wouldn't say was good, but they can't because we were the other Americans. So, what happened? They just dropped it.
How did they get to England?
Well, when we were relieved, they came across, they formed their own army, and they sent us back here for training, you see. Up on the idea was sound, I suppose, but they're poor blokes, they've been starved for years.
Yes.
And you could say you weren't in a fight. Mm. Oh, I had a platoon of Italians. They're comedians. They did all their donkey work for building roads and putting up. I reported in our past state. First day them, I could see you.
Where did they recruit them from?
Oh, prisoners of war. By that time, they weren't prisoners. You can call them prisoners of war. They were combatants. They weren't allies, but they weren't prisoners of war.
And how did they work that out?
I don't know. They were ex-BWs.
Yes.
And they had a sergeant, about 32 men. They worked all right. Did that bit then. They did all the guys work for them. They stopped. We did their lunches for them. No, right.
What was their English like?
Some were pretty good.
Hmm.
Yeah, some were. I think quite a few settled down in England, married English girls.
Yeah.
They were right, they did the job, but they wouldn't do too much. They didn't worry us. And then, in the latter part, they started getting ex-Air POWs coming back for retraining.
Oh, really? Where were they coming back
from? Well, coming back from, right from Dunkirk, right from the beginning, you see.
Oh, right.
Italy, where they...
Right.
And they, I thought they'd be bolshy, but they were quite good on the whole, you know, knuckled down. And they were very, I got on very well with them. Then the rumour went round, they were building up an army of 500,000 men to invade Japan. And that was the rumour. By that time, Japan was still fighting. And I started getting, not rumours, but rumours sides. And I got talking to them, because I was with them all the time, you see, on the ranges. I was talking to one chap, he said, I'm going to go, he said, I'm not going to go to Japan. He said, I'm not going to cause any trouble here. Mm. He said, I'm not going to Japan. He said, I called up, I'm not going. And I said, look, is that a feeling? He said, they've all been through it.
Yes.
And then,
be sent away again.
No, he said, I'll do my job here, he said, but I'm not... Well, every Monday morning we have a staff conference in the CEO's office, you know. There's a CEO and the acting, myself without the weapons, the medical set officer, the quartermaster, all raised our points. And I thought, should I raise that, you see? And I just hedged on it. I didn't say, tell them what happened. But I said there's a feeling of unrest on the fence. And when they all came out, he called me back. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, without being too bold, one or two caps saying no, they won't go to Japan. So he said, don't worry about it. We know about it. It's all cancelled. So it all died away. So obviously we got through.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I had a body on Japan because I was a regular soldier, you see. So I finished my days in the army at Darwin Barracks in Bon Hill.
In Bon Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's like Harrow's Defender.
Yes.
Jason. I finished my time there and said goodbye to the CEO and off I went.
Off you went where?
I went to Redfern Barracks in Edinburgh.
Yes.
All the documentation papers, you know. Then I went to Richard's Park Barracks in Camden Town. You probably know the cavalry barracks there. Handed my kit. No, I didn't have my kit. I got my civvy kit. I kept my kit because I bought it. So I went down and joined the rest down in Morden. I was a civvy.
So what? When was this?
In Morden, say, where she lived.
What day was this?
This is about the end of November, 45. Of course, I went back. I went back to the army.
Oh, right. And when did you go back?
It's a whole story.
Is it?
As soon as I could, I joined the CA.
Yes.
Because I want to resign my commission and go back in the ranks, you see. And I said, you can't do that, no. I said, well, I'm not going to join otherwise. I don't become an officer again. They said, well, you become a sergeant. So I said, I'll become a sergeant. So I joined the CA. Of the 16th foot, the Bedford by Strange Regiment, which was in Luton. And after about a year, they made me sergeant major. But I wasn't going to stay in, but I wasn't staying in the job. I hated the job. And I was going to do something else, but we were at camp when, about 94, I think it was at camp, and the last camp, we had a fair dude, Sergeant Smith. And we had an officer called, you may have heard of the mate, a Brigadier Peter Young. He's well known in the army, and he was our training major then. And we talked about it, and my own sergeant major was due for Judge RSM, but they wouldn't release him because the battalion wouldn't replace him. So I don't know what came about. I had about 7 points, But anyway, I finished it. I took the job. So I went back to the army. Going back private HC forum, acting sergeant, acting W02, and that's it. I was back in Major Army.
How did it feel?
I was back home.
So you always preferred to be there?
Oh God, yes. Last time, yes. I came out in 1961.
Did you go abroad at all?
Yeah, I went to Egypt to try to get shot.
Is it?
Yeah, I got shot through both legs.
Is that during Suez?
Yeah. Yes. Lost about 2 inches off my knee.
Did you? Yeah. Can you tell me something about your trip to Suez then? So it must have been strange feeling back in North Africa, or was it?
Well, we were right on the banks of the Suez Canal. This wasn't the Suez Crisis. This was the Suez Canal emergency, you know. We were right on the canal. Doris and Harry, which are bathed in the Suez Canal. We were doing, say, there was a lot of unrest going on. They deposed the king and broke Nasser of Impar and things were not naughty. We went out of the to back out the existing force. There's a guard brigade, the 2nd Cavalry and the 2nd Scots.
Yes.
And get to bolster up all the defences, which they were cutting, overturning buses and cutting rail lines. And it was pretty nasty, but not war. We lost quite a few blokes, but it wasn't war. And it was bad. We were down to about less than 300 men.
Were you? Mm.
And everybody was doing two jobs. Mm. I was doing colour sergeant and platoon commander and platoon sergeant of the mortar platoon. We were only down to about 14 men, it should have been 30. Mm. Anyway, we had a fellow under in prison for waiting court martial, and he broke up with the guard room, going to lack of care. And anyway, I went to get him back, and he shot me in both legs.
Oh.
So they flew me home, and I'd been a long time in hospital, and I should have come out of the army, but they pulled strings, you know, they kept me in. Of course, my promotion can't support out the spell. Mm-hmm. I should have been the major quartermaster. It's all mapped out for me, of course. I put paid to that after 2 years in hospital.
Were you?
So one year solid, but the second year I had to keep going back for minor operations to keep me in the army.
Right, and where was that? Which hospital were you at?
I was at the Royal Herbert
in
Woolwich. But the battalion was at Tip, by that time I'd come home, and they were at Tipworth. And they took me on the strength. They're very, very good to me. They found Doris a home. And as long as I'd done a couple of months, I could come back and had about 3 or 4 operations. So at last, I was clear.
And which years was that?
That was, I got shot in 54, and I finally joined the regiment again in 56, so just 3 years.
Right, yes.
And they went to Germany in August, late July, and I stayed behind on my final operation. Then I acted as a rear guard, handed over the barracks, and I joined them in August in Germany.
In Germany. And how long were you in Germany for?
About a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I came back.
Which part of Germany was that?
A place called Goslar in the Harz Mountains. A beautiful, beautiful place.
Yes.
Lovely station.
Was it?
Mm. Right on the port, right on the line. We patrolled the line.
Were you? Yeah.
Way that the Germans live away back. You have to control it. It's very good. And then the regiment's going to move. Who makes with the Essex? And I was sent back to hand over the barracks to Bedford. Or help hand over, you know, which I did. Then I went to Hawley and handed over that barracks, and that was just finished.
All right. So which year was that?
1961.
Right.
It was all a bit of a farce. I demobbed myself, you know. It really, really was.
Yes. Yeah. So by this time you were with which regiment?
Yeah, well, it's a new regiment, the 3rd East Anglian Regiment. It was RKMS. Because I had to go. Had I not been shot, I'd have been a major.
Yes.
Once you get your commissions, you know, by time.
Yes. But you hadn't wanted to take on a commission in the regular, in the, when you went into the regulars, had you?
Well, no, I couldn't be in the regular army, I was too old. All of me fellow, I was 38, you know. The top whack of the army was 26.
Really?
I was 38 and I went back. Surprise. Obviously.
But you said you hadn't wanted to, anyway, you wanted to. You hadn't wanted to.
I couldn't afford to be an officer, anyway. I would never have got it because I couldn't afford it.
What would you have needed to have paid for?
Private income. In a classy regiment, like the Royal Fusiliers.
Really?
They were very classy, yeah.
Yeah. You needed a private income?
Well, I think you would. You could manage it.
Well, so the pay just wasn't good enough?
Well, you got paid about pension, I think. And I know from our youngsters, you know, from America, I got to know very well. In fact, I still talked to a couple of them on the phone. And now, which I termed at that time, they were youngsters. I was Simon Whitbread, with the family, he was one of our people. I know him very well. I was fortunate in being. Very few people can put up with going back from being ushered a ranker. You've got to be very, very thick-skinned. Because people I commanded when I was a captain were now seen as me, you see. Mm. Very careful. But that was a good part, don't be. But I had the advantage, I could talk to people, the officers, you see.
Yes. Well, that must have been an advantage.
It was an advantage. I had one chap going in for me, Captain Cassidy, but he was a nobody anyway. But I survived.
And can you tell me something about how you keep up, you know, who you see
the,
now?
Well, the associations, the Rough Riders, as you know, we don't know, they combine the Inver Court Region and other good old region. And their headquarters in Lincoln's Inn Fields, in Lincoln's Inn. So they've got their own place in stone buildings.
Yes.
And that's still their own concern.
Yes.
And from that they got a sergeant's club, which is up there, look. Devil's own sergeant's club. You see the devil?
Yes.
And the sergeant. That's still going strong.
Is it? Yes.
And they meet once a month.
Yes, and do you go along?
I did, but I can't now. It means coming up the stairs anyway, so three strikes up.
Yeah.
But I still talk to them on the phone.
Yeah.
And the other ones at Bedford, at Kempston Barracks, the Bedfords on the right there.
Yeah.
16 to foot.
Yeah.
They have their big parade on late in November. And I've been to them, but I don't think I'll go now.
No.
But they're both going strong.
Yeah, that's
I
good.
I get all the news.
You get all the news, so you kept up to date.
Yeah, I get these magazines. And I still talk to them on the phone. You know. So I'm still in the army in spirit. I never saw it in civic street.
No.
But I did.
Which place do you think that you went to which you found most interesting out of all your overseas?
Was it a beautiful place. We were a garrison cannon, the only battalion there.
Yeah.
We were the forward battalion, you know, the army operation echelon, your headquarters. Then you've got the forward corps and the forward division, forward brigade, and the point battalion. We were the point battalion. We were right on the wire. And behind us was the a place called Brunswick was the Surreys, and behind them was the 12th Lancers, and that was our brigade. But we were the 4th Brigade, we used to patrol the wire day and night.
Yeah.
The duty company of the victims patrolled it in the Land Rover. It was a lovely town.
Mm-hmm. And when you were in the war, when you were in North Africa, how long were you there for altogether?
Yeah, just over a year. Mm-hmm. I came back here.
Mm-hmm.
But, last part, yeah, Gaza's the best place. We all loved that. Joyce came out with the boy. She started school here, the army school.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Lovely place with a beautiful house. Right in the camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good. I'm sorry. Well, I did want to come home, but I had to go and close the barracks up. I think prior to my City Street, going back a bit, I had the, not the gift of the gay, but I could negotiate and I could act a bit naive, you know. I remember a bit of a spew, I suppose.
Well, in relation to what?
It's now recorded.
We're still on, that's okay.
Well, when you're given, taking over a place, you know you're going to be caught, you know, there's always stuff missing, and stuff damaged.
Yeah.
So you've got every ears and eyes open. And I've got a knack of finding out. See, I've got a name for doing handovers and takeovers. And my father would take that handover, but Timpers were handed over to the civic warden. And the drill was that I'd hand him over at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go to Barry Snibbins depot, we'd probably give him off, you know, to see the CO, get my final pay and all that sort of stuff. Of course, he never turned up till midday.